When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial, and you can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com, Martha Norwalk, N-O-R-W-A-L-K.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage, and that will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And I'm delighted to say that it's a much nicer morning. It's actually quite pretty here. And the sun is shining, which is really nice, here in the Great Pacific Northwest. And we are back to just a core family here in the studio today. Animal World production engineer Mike Roberge is here. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And how are you on this pretty sunny morning?
Doing well. We're getting a little break in the action, so to speak.
Yeah, it was pretty soggy yesterday.
And it will be pretty soggy starting Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so more rain. Another weather front is coming in. They're sort of lined up, but it's nice to get these breaks because it kind of gives the earth a chance to absorb all the standing water, and we've had a lot of standing water recently.
Oh, yeah, and there's still standing water today all over the place.
But no complaints.
Right. No, not compared to, we could be in a blizzard like they are back
unbelievable.
East.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, like 2 feet. It's hard to imagine.
Two and a half to three feet. I have family in western Pennsylvania, and there are parts of the Pennsylvania Turnpike that, of course, is shut down, but they have had almost 40 inches of snow.
Wow.
And then when the wind blows, it drifts up. So, I mean, it's just, they sent me some pictures of cars just totally buried in snow drifts. Not only on the freeway, but also in suburban streets and stuff like that. So digging out, it's going to take them a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it...
Big stuff.
Well, it's amazing sometimes to me, too, that, well, I mean, this storm, it's not like it came out of the blue. I mean, they definitely are predicted, but it seems that even when it's predicted and you know how bad it's going to be, then, you know, well, at least all the pictures, the films I was looking at last night of, you know, the freeways shut down and miles and miles and miles of cars and people saying that, you know, that they've been there for hours and hours and hours, and of course, no food or anything. But it's like
no potty.
Well, yeah. Oh, there might be a lot of yellow snow.
You have to
around
improvise because you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of like, well, you know, do we just not pay attention? So how do all those people end up stuck on those freeways for all those hours when, you know, this blizzard? It's been the talk of all over the place.
Trying to get home or where they needed to go and trying to stay ahead of the storm. And what happens is the commercial trucks that generally jackknife or go off the road and they stop traffic for a while. And of course, once you stop, you're done. 'Cause it's pretty flat land. If you can keep moving, if you're on compact snow and ice and you have reasonable traction tires or devices, you should be able to keep going. But if you got to stop, or heaven forbid, you got to stop for a while, generally that's when it really starts to back up. You're kind of done then.
Yeah, I don't know what news feed it was, but there was a film of, it was sort of like a residential area, maybe a busy residential area with, you know, the snow and an incline, a road that was inclining up. and someone there with a camera just watching, you know, each car trying to make it up the hill, and they'd get all, you know, they'd be cruising almost to the top and then sliding back down, then they'd slam into the cars, and then the next try to make it up, and eventually someone is saying, you know, do they really think they're going to be the first car to make it up this hill? Or, and you know, it just was a disaster.
Well, there's a certain mentality that, oh, I've got four-wheel drive, I can go anywhere. Wrong.
Well, that's true.
You can't always go anywhere. And sometimes people in their four-wheel drives who think they know what they're doing can be one of the most dangerous things on the road often.
Yeah.
Because they drive too fast. Because the thing about it is when it's snow and ice, you got to slow down. You just got to go slow. And you just have to give yourself space between you and the next person. Because it just you don't stop on a dime. Yeah. There's no such thing as stopping on a dime.
Well, this is true. This is true. Yeah, not on the ice, that's for sure.
The other thing that's about this storm is the storm surge on the Atlantic coast, particularly in New Jersey, where they've, because of the full moon, tides were higher to begin with, and then you get some pretty heavy-duty winds, and you get some huge tidal action, and they've had a lot of coastal flooding. But it's coastal flooding with ice. It looks
like the
ice breakup of places in Alaska when the,
exactly,
when the ice comes in.
You see the flooding going on, but then there's like big chunks of ice, like glaciers breaking up somewhere.
That's tough duty.
Boy, I saw those films too. Now, there was the balance to that is that there are some wonderful animal videos coming out of animals playing in the snow, and so I've posted some of those on Facebook, and we'll talk about that as we get into the show. But let's bring Animal World lead call screener into the picture. Kathy Southwick is here. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Have you been paying attention to all the storms and
Absolutely.
Everything?
What a scary thing back east.
You
know, our friend Chris Denega, who was our concerned about him, you know.
Well, that's right, because he just recently went back to New York, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He went up more north, too, to near Boston, so.
Well, apparently that's home for him, though, so he must be kind of used to, have experienced this kind of stuff before, but I haven't heard from him, but probably worth sending off an email to see,
definitely.
See if he's safe, but.
Anyways, I'm not going to complain about the rain, I'll tell you. After hearing all that.
Yeah, it was pretty miserable yesterday. I mean, I was working, and part of what we had to do, you know, I was doing private counseling session with a family, and their recently, well, in the fall, rescued dog with some extreme issues.
Oh, boy.
And one of the things we had to work on was getting the dog to walk on the leash without pulling. I mean, the woman literally had the whole backside of her arms were bruised from wrapping the dog's leash around her arms to try to hold this dog to keep it from pulling.
Oh, boy.
It was a really sweet 2-year-old pit bull, but severely abused, but... and no
not
training.
Not by her, right?
No.
Before her.
Prior to rescue.
Yeah.
And so extreme and irrational fears, and which kind of leads me to kind of what we're doing today. It's going to be a behavior training and healing Sunday, and we'll have open phone lines from 10 o'clock on for your phone calls if you want to come in and talk to me about that kind of stuff. But it was kind of a miserable day. It's been a long time since the weather hasn't cooperated. And I've had to go out and work a dog and train an owner in the rain. You know, the majority of the session we're inside doing all of that, but eventually we had to get outside to do the leash work. And we were all wrapped up in raincoats and stuff. But the good news is this went really, really well. And fortunately, it's a good thing I know what I'm doing, because we had a dog walking beautifully and peacefully on the leash and owner blown away. And
oh, good. I think she was one of our listeners that called in once, didn't she?
That I saw yesterday? No, I don't think. No, she didn't know about the show.
Okay.
The other interesting thing with that dog is the dog really hates the rain, and the colt doesn't like to go out. And the last time it was really rainy for a number of days in a row, the dog refused to poop outside.
Oh, boy.
And like, went 3 days without going.
Oh, my gosh.
And of course, then when it finally did go, couldn't help it. It was in the house all over the place. Oh, it was a mess. So she was already, when I was there yesterday, they know the dog's schedule well enough to know that, you know, that bowel movement had usually comes, had not come. And we could tell that she needed to go. Anyway, after we went outside and worked, we went back to the yard. And of course, I had already taught her about the communication and visualization and how to do that. And the really good news was, yay, got the dog to poop outside. Woohoo. So, yeah. And then they were, as soon as I left, they were going off shopping for a warm winter raincoat. For
well, good.
This little dog that
should help.
Yeah, because she'll enjoy. Mm-hmm. Dogs do like raincoats. Dogs that don't like to get wet in the rain really do appreciate raincoats for walking. So,
well, good.
If you've got a dog that doesn't like the rain, get a raincoat. All righty then. So let's talk a little bit about. Oh, I know, Mike. I was going to ask you though. A weather department. Speaking of all the snow. Are you aware of what our predictions are for the rest of this winter? Are we looking at any snow in the city areas? We're getting snow in the mountains. But.
No, both NOAA and the National Weather Service are holding to their earlier predictions that it would be warmer than average and wetter than average. So
we definitely pretty much more wet covered.
And
we've
it has
got
been
the
warmer.
Warm, too, yeah, right now, yeah. I mean, compare. I mean,
we only had that one stretch of below freezing temperatures.
Right.
And it's been fairly mild, and it's going to be mild at least for the time being. So I don't really see any changes.
All right.
It's an El Nino effect,
all
just
right.
warmer and wetter. But we should get a lot more snow in the mountains, which is good.
Well,
good.
That's a good thing. That's where we need it. But I always enjoy it, you know, at least one winter snow, and if only to watch Robbie play, you know, play with Robbie in the snow. That's always fun. But I guess we might have to just watch videos on Facebook.
You could always take them to the snow.
Yeah, not I don't miss it that much. We had a dusting this year a little bit, but it happened in the middle of the night, so we really couldn't play in the snow. But I'll be grateful for what we have. And didn't you say you saw some funnel clouds around here?
I did.
Saw
one this morning. They're very pretty.
Yeah.
As long as they're up in the
right,
air,
they're not touching
down. You don't want them to touch down. But I saw one in the southern sky this morning around between 6:30 and 7. It's probably around 6:45, and I saw one yesterday in kind of the north northwest sky, 4 o'clock ish, maybe 4:30.
Wow!
Again, they're very impressive, and they're very destructive if they touch down, particularly if they hit water. Because they gain more steam energy, and then they move on shore and do so. They can be just as destructive as a regular tornado.
Well, I've enjoyed living all of my life here in an area where we don't have storm, you know, funnel clouds and tornadoes and stuff. But every once in a while over the years, there's been a little one that's touched down somewhere. But maybe that's part of the climate changes and that sort of thing, that we could end up having some in
this
area.
Well, it's really what happens when you get those kinds of thunderstorm activity or hurricanes or even tornadoes, is you have cold mass meeting warm mass. And clouds and temperatures, when they hit together and there's moisture, moisture involved, it's just science. It's just what they do.
Interesting.
But what's happening in terms of climate change is the frequency and the destruction or the strength of these storms, particularly with tornadoes now. They're all major. And, of course, if you live in Tornado Alley, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're just bigger. There's more of them. There's more destruction. And it's a sign of things to come, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, not having lived in any of those areas in my lifetime, it's kind of difficult to imagine what it would be like to live in, you know, a tornado area where, you know, at any time they can just come and wipe you out.
Yep, just one after
That's
another.
Good.
And it's amazing to me why there are so many mobile homes in Tornado Alley, because they get blown away and it's like, oh, I guess I'll go get another one, and they get blown away.
You're not in it when
it's
it blows
just crazy.
Away.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, because and that with that kind of destructive paths that are created, boy, you don't want to mess around. You want to be in a basement, and you want to be, you know, have something sturdy and heavy on top of you, because that's intense. And I should say that one thing I would love to do, something that's on my bucket list, is to go tornado chasing.
I was just getting a picture of that. You want to be a storm chaser?
It's awesome.
I don't want to be
dodging the bullet and being right next to one, but I would like to, as the storms form, pretty incredible. I mean, it's very visual, and the vibe in the earth and the atmosphere really changes. You know, birds take off, and, you know, all the animals know what's going on, and then you just sort of see it develop, and then you say, okay, which way is it going? But I would do that once, for sure, absolutely.
Well, that's interesting, because I've seen over the years that there have been, you know, some TV shows and stuff with storm chasers and doing that, and that they can get themselves into trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful when you do that.
You go with the pros, and you don't go with storm chasers per se, because they're just doing it for money. You go with the scientific community.
Scientific guys.
Yeah, because they know more about
what's
going on. Yep.
Set it up to be safe, huh? All right. Okay, then. So let's talk about what we're doing today. This is the first time in a very long time we haven't had a guest or a pretty rigid schedule, so we've had some time to just chat, and we'll have lots of that kind of time today. It is officially a Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me. If you don't know, when I'm not here on the radio, I'm busy being an animal behavior therapist and trainer, and I work with people and their animals in their home to help them understand them and solve problems. And I was telling Kathy earlier, I am having a rash of some of the most challenging, complicated cases to try to figure out how to help people work them out. But we're being phenomenally successful. It's been really amazing. So I will have time today to share some of those stories with you. And don't have a lot of follow-up or animals in the news, because it's all on Facebook, but there's some much good stuff, funny stuff and cute stuff and serious stuff that we'll talk about that, some of that stuff as the show goes on. I'll shoot for doing current events in the second hour, as we normally try to do. And then at some point today, we'll do a missing link giveaway. So you want to make sure that you jot phone numbers down. And if you're 18 years or older and haven't won a prize on this show or any other show on this station in the last 30 days, then you'll be eligible to win a missing link supplement for your animal friends, of which they are absolutely phenomenal. I was just at a huge pet store yesterday up in the Snohomish area shopping, and I was telling them how glad I was to see Missing Link on the shelf. And they're saying, oh, God, that's a phenomenal product, really popular. I said, yeah, I know. It's great. So there are three formulas for dogs. There's a cat formula. There's a wellness blend, which is a vegetarian formula you can feed to both dogs and cats and other house critters. And, oh, I got to, in my session yesterday, I was there to deal with the dog, but got to meet Bugs. And Bugs was one of the daughter's pet rat. And what a cute rat. And we got to introduce the dog to the rat and all of that. It was really fun. And I got rat stuff, cool stuff on Facebook. Hopefully we'll talk about that a little later. But at any rate, a lot of great stuff on Facebook. We'll do the missing link giveaway sometime during the show. Just listen for when I tell you the missing link word or words of the day. And then you'll pick up your phone and give Kathy a call. We will take care of advertisers and sponsors here pretty shortly. And then what we're going to do at 9:30 is I've asked our Animal World vet, Dr. Bill Burlingame, to join us on the line because of this new canine flu that's going around. And I'm hearing a lot of people kind of panicking and a lot of serious alert messages going out from veterinary hospitals via email to their clients and so forth. So I wanted to get the lowdown and the definitive information on this canine flu and whether or not the vaccine is viable and Dr. Bill would recommend it, or and that sort of thing. So Dr. Bill will join us at 9:30, and we'll have him on for the rest of the hour and discuss the canine flu, if you're interested in that. And then we're going to open up phone lines, and I would love it if you called in, and you can call in about your behavior training and healing questions with any of your animal friends, or because it's such a rare occasion to just have a free show like this. It's actually an extra Sunday in May. We have 5 Sundays this month, and that's why we have an extra open show. So I would love it if there's something on your mind about animals and you want to talk about it. Well, today's the day. So you can call in with behavior training or healing questions or anything about animals you'd like to discuss, and we'll start that in the second hour. So let's see. Let's go ahead and make the show official. Get it rolling here. Yeah, I know we've been on the air for 20 minutes, but it's only official once we invoke honor the presence of the saint that's been guiding my work with the animals for so many years. That, of course, would be Saint Francis. And we've got a couple of little Saint Francis prayers for Sunday morning. And honoring Saint Francis, got a short one for our animal friends, a little longer one for us humans. And we'll do those right now. So this is the prayer to St. Francis for our animal friends. Good St. Francis, you loved all of God's creatures. To you, they were your brothers and sisters. Help us to follow your example of treating every living thing with kindness. St. Francis, patron saint of animals, watch over our animal friends and keep our companions safe and healthy. And now for us humans, it's the St. Francis of Assisi peace prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Om, peace, amen. Alrighty then, we are now official. The show has begun. We're going to take care of our advertisers to start with here. Remember, it is the most important part of the show. Without them, there is no us. So listen, support them, thank them, and then stay right where you are because we'll come back. I've got a Mercury in retrograde update for you on that. And then at 9:30, we'll welcome Dr. Bill to the show and find out all about the canine flu. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's A-N-A-N-D-A Washington.org.
Ever wonder what your pet is thinking? Why they do certain things? Or how they're adapting to a change in the household? Darcy Pariso, animal intuitive medium and Reiki master, can help you with all of those things. Darcy can help you connect with your pet or other animal, here or in spirit. She'll also share messages including your pet's past lives and soul purpose. Clients say Darcy's readings are so much more than they expected and result in a deeper bond with her pets. Contact Darcy at darcypariso.com. That's Darcy Pariso, P-A-R-I-S-O.com. Or call 425-280-5132.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling on this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And you heard about the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, and I just got to tell you that, oh man, there's a ton of really great classes coming up here at the East West Bookstore in Seattle and the Ananda Meditation Temple in Bothell. And if you don't know, the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga now offers advanced yoga courses leading to Yoga Alliance 500 level RYT 500 certification. And I think that's a big deal. So you can check out all of their yoga training and at www.instituteoflivingyoga.org for more details. And if you missed the show with Zach and Haley, the lead farmers from the Ananda Farm on Camino Island, we're going to do an encore presentation of that show next Sunday. And so you want to tune in for that. And then you heard about Darcy Pariso, our wonderful animal intuitive communicator, medium and Reiki master, and she is available for private consultations. She does a special deal of, if you go through her website and email one question for $15, that's a heck of a deal. And then she does lots of intuitive fairs around the area. You'll find all of her information on where she's going to be and all that good stuff on Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Click on current events and there's a list there. So I'll be telling you about that later in the show. And if you need to call Darcy to schedule a session with her, her number is 425-280-5132. Oh, and by the way, one of those really complicated, difficult to work out behavior cases that I'm getting, I'm in the middle of one right now, and I've had to call Darcy in to help with it. So I hope I'll have time tell you about that sometime during the show. All righty, we have got Dr. Bill ready to go, so let's get started a little early. And welcome back to Animal World, our own Animal World vet from Burlingame Veterinary Consulting. It's Dr. Bill Burlingame. Good morning, Dr. Bill.
Hey, good morning to everyone.
Oh, hey, it's that voice. I love hearing your voice again. It's been a while. I haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you taking the time to spend with us, because there's certainly a lot of talk going around about everybody calling it this new canine flu in the area. And I'm hearing from a lot of people wanting to know, they're kind of panicked about it, and what should we do? Just not take our dogs anywhere? There's a vaccine, and should we do it? And I've got a printed out email from one of my clients sent me from an alert from their veterinarians, their office, sending out to all their clients about how important the vaccines are and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, what can you tell us about this flu strain that's around?
Well, it's the same strain that took over Chicago last year.
Mm.
You know, they had, I don't know, 300 or 400 animals in the Chicago area that were infected with the H3N2 strain of flu. And it's...
Now, when you said 500 animals, is that dogs, or does it affect...
Dogs, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a highly contagious disease with low death rates, which is important to know.
Low death rate.
Low death rate.
Okay.
So most all the dogs recover well. Traditional therapy, like if you had a very bad kennel cough, you know, antibiotics, cough suppressants, just basic supportive care.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about this disease is that the animals are contagious
Okay.
So that's the big problem, is if you have an environment, you know, a daycare or a boarding facility or a grooming facility or a veterinary office, if you have an animal that's been there for a few days and then you notice symptoms, they've already been shedding virus.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is they can kind of get their nose under the tent before you know you got a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So that would explain the concerns about, like, say, you know, daycares, you know, dog parks, that sort of thing, because you could have dogs running around that appear to be normal and healthy, but they already have the bug and they're contagious.
Yes.
But on the other hand, to balance with that, it's not so serious. It's not killing dogs, sounds like.
Well, you know, the numbers that they state is about 10% mortality rate.
Okay.
And most of them are going to do fine, and they never really, you never really get the whole story when they talk about the 10% that don't make it. What was their physical condition to start with? So those,
well, that's what I'm thinking. There was probably a compromised immune system or, you know, body to begin with.
Right. They were young, old, sick. You know, there was some other issue going on right then. So,
well, now that just something. Yeah, that's what I just said. You could have, you know, healthy dog. It looks apparently healthy dogs running around the park, but they are contagious.
Yep.
Now we've got questions coming in. Can the flu be transferred to cats or humans?
Well, the current strain that we're referring to, it can be. They have seen or reported in Asia where this came from that they had some cats with the illness, and as far as they know, there's no cross infection to humans, although humans are a common vector, which means we can carry it on our clothes or hands or things like that. So we can transmit the virus. The virus stays in the environment for about 48 hours, maybe about 12 hours on hands and things like that. So we're probably the ones, other than direct contact from dog to dog, we're the ones that are going to transmit it. So fortunately, it's an easy virus to kill with the standard sanitation methods that everybody uses. I wouldn't get real concerned.
Okay, now I want to, what I flashed on here when we were talking about, you know, that 10% mortality rate, and not... recently, there was a big story locally here in the news, the little girl that died from the flu. And this was just very, very recent in our area. And, you know, she came down with the flu and then ended up in the hospital and was dead very quickly. But then when I read the story, she had asthma. So is that the kind of thing, like, that might be the case with the dogs that have a more difficult problem with the flu? They've got an underlying condition like asthma or something before they get the flu?
Excellent example.
Okay,
the function of her airways is compromised, and so you know, she can't handle the inflammation that's going on, and it's harder for her to put up a fight. So, yes. If your respiratory tract is compromised to begin with, an asthma or allergic bronchitis would be probably the most common that we would deal with. They're going to have a little harder time fighting it off. And then also, in that situation, I didn't read anything about that.
Yeah, I think she was like 10 or 12, something like that.
So she's still, her immune system was still learning.
Yeah, and I, now, according to the information that I have in front of me, you mentioned that this is the flu that the outbreak in Chicago that began in 2015. And then my information here says that cases are now being reported in Massachusetts, New Jersey, Alabama, California, Texas, New York, Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, Georgia, and here in Washington. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Now,
well, that's just the mobility of dogs. So you think about people that are shipping puppies and dogs that are on the show circuit or agility circuit. You know, the previous flu, H3N8, the one that started out about 10 years ago, from what I read, that was transmitted by the racing industry for dogs. That's how that got spread.
Wow.
So it's all about the mobility. You know, the dogs down there, I believe it was in Kent, where supporting kennel this all started. I believe those dogs came from Georgia.
Well, that makes sense, because that's one of the states where they're saying the flu is.
So there was either a dog from Kent that went to Georgia and was exposed to a couple dogs there, or a couple dogs from Georgia came to Kent, imported temporarily, and went back. I don't remember what the story was, but anyways, there was something to do with some dogs from Georgia, and so that's how things get spread.
So do you have any idea how prevalent it is in our area at this point?
As far as I know, I haven't heard of any other cases, and news travels fast in situations like this. So, really, you just have to kind of not, you don't want to needlessly expose your dog until we know, is this over or not?
Well, and what kind of symptoms are we looking for in these dogs?
Typical kennel cough symptoms, coughing, you know, lethargy, depression. The body's going to spike a fever, so you get depressed and you're not, you know, feeling as well. But really, it's the respiratory symptom.
Okay. And
some of these dogs have a moist cough. Some of them have a dry cough. So your standard bronchitis, kennel cough type symptom.
Okay, and if listeners have their dogs start with symptoms, can they wait to see if it's self-limiting, if the dog's going to heal on its own? Is that happening, or is it better to get to the vet right away to get on medication?
I would say that if your pet is not eating, running a fever, and seems depressed, it's probably best that they be looked at. And you'll, again, remember that they're incubating for several days, and then all of a sudden it's going to hit. So I think with any dog, with any illness, we all watch them for a day, maybe two, but if they're not eating and drinking, then no matter what the cause is, they need to be looked at.
Okay. Now there's a lot of talk about that there is a vaccine for this.
Correct.
So how are you feeling about that? Are you advising your clients to get that vaccine?
Well, I'm based on their risk factors. So if they're a dog that always goes to daycare or has to go to dog parks or has to go someplace where other dogs are, then I think those folks need to consider immunization. If this dog is hanging out at home and isn't going to other places, then I wouldn't be real concerned about it.
And it says, according to the information I have, I want to know if this is true, that it isn't just a one vaccine. It's a one dose and then a booster 3 to 4 weeks later. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. You want to develop what you call your amnestic response. So, or your booster, your first immunization alerts the immune system, hey, you got a new disease you haven't been exposed to. So the body builds a temporary response in general. And then when you come in and booster that vaccine, then the body says, oh, I guess this So it's that second booster that really alerts the immune system that this is truly a challenge or a threat, and we need to pay attention to this. So, yeah, it's a two-dose vaccine.
Do they have to have both vaccines before they're protected?
Well, to get the best protection, yes. So it doesn't matter what disease you're dealing with, you don't get immediate protection with any vaccination.
Right. Okay.
So the body has to have time to respond and build its immune response. So, yeah, that's inconvenient because here, you know, it could take a month before we are very protected or as protected as we could claim with a vaccine. So what are they going to do with that pet for a month? So nothing's perfect, although I do know of a product that might.
we're going to go there. Another question here first.
Yeah.
Once a dog, say we have a dog that gets this flu, mm-hmm. they recover.
Right.
Are they then immune to the flu in the future?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that question, and that's an excellent question.
Well, that's usually the case, isn't it?
Not necessarily. Like some of your other, like the Bordetella organism, they don't always develop long-term, lifelong protection. But yes, you're right. If you have natural infection and you survive that, in general, you have much longer immunity. That way than if you've been immunized.
All right.
Vaccines they're recommending on a yearly basis, but you got to remember these vaccines haven't been out that long. So to really have concrete evidence to show that, well, yeah, we immunized these dogs, and 5 years later, they had protective antibody titers, that information isn't out there. The two vaccines that are out, which interesting is that one of the companies, you know, these are provisional vaccines, which means there was indication through the studies that they probably will work. One of the companies did not have challenge studies, but they convinced the FDA that based on our research, this vaccine should work. The other company that came out with the vaccine actually has challenge studies to show that it did work, and that's the vaccine that we brought into our office.
Okay, and can you give us an idea of what it would cost someone to have their dog vaccinated?
I don't know about other veterinary offices.
Right.
But what we're doing is we ordered in both of the vaccines, the earlier vaccine, the N8 and the N2. So we ordered in both of the canine flu vaccines, and I think for both vaccines, it's going to be around $55.
And that would be twice?
And then they have to booster that, correct? So it's not inexpensive.
Not inexpensive. Okay.
No. So I'm sure that, you know, the market will range a lot on that. So.
Yeah, just the alert that I have here that a client sent me, or a listener that from their veterinarian, it sounds what they've done, they've got this big, after all this stuff, it says, you know, due to the susceptibility of this virus and our commitment to protecting all pets using our spa services, we're now requiring all canines coming in for grooming, daycare, or boarding to be given the H3N2 vaccine prior to service. Then I have an issue with that, because what does that mean? Okay, I want to get my dog board groomed at this place, so you take him there and they give it a vaccine, but that's only the first one. It's another 3 to 4 weeks before they get the booster and are protected.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that works. It probably doesn't.
Well, that's the point. I talked to one of our local boarding kennels, the owner of the boarding kennel, and he was asking me, I mean, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Do I require everybody that comes in to be immunized, knowing that they're not going to be protected for a while?
Okay, well then I have some questions because I think there's some, like you alluded to, that there is another something else you can do to help your boost the immune systems of your dog friends and all of that. And of course, Dr. Bill has the answers. We've got to take a quick time out here to take care of our advertisers, and then we will come back with Dr. Bill Burlingame from Burlingame Veterinary Consulting. Hey, while we're and check him out on Facebook, Burlingame Veterinary Consulting. I just found that page recently and I'm checking it all out. Good information there. We're going to come back and find out about what you can do to support your dog's immune system and how you can even boost their response to the vaccine, that so they would respond even better to the vaccine. Dr. Bill has the answers, and we'll share them with you next. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Did you know that there's a gentle energy balancing method for restoring health, mobility, and athletic performance for your dog, cat, or horse? Bioenergetic synchronization, as used by Nels Rasmussen, creates transformations in health, mobility, and performance. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats, and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonics Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World already, but we got two more hours to go, so stay with us. And I'm delighted that Dr. Bill Burlingame is with us for the moment to fill us in on the truth about the canine flu here. And Dr. Bill, you know me, I'm not big on vaccines if I don't have to do them for some reason. And of course, you know, me and my Robbie, we don't go to dog parts and that sort of thing. We do agility class once a week. But what I do to keep my dog's immune system going is give him your immune tabs every day. So what about, I'm thinking that getting dogs on the best immune support they could have at this point is the most important thing to do. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to agree with you, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. So it really is keeping the immune system primed so it can respond is really where it's at. And so what I do when we have issues like this, is that if we're using the veterinary immune tabs to keep the immune system primed, if I'm going to be, let's say, taking a dog to a boarding kennel,
yeah,
or agility classes, sometimes what I'll do is bump the dose of that for 2 or 3 days before that event, just to really prime that immune system.
Increase the amount of the number of immune tabs you're giving the dog.
If I'm going
3 to 4 days before,
at least 48 hours before, I'll give them a couple extra doses.
Uh-huh.
And what we know is that, you know, we're keeping with long-term normal maintenance doses that we're really keeping that immune system prime. But if they're going to travel, if they're going to go to a show, if they're going to go to a boarding kennel, I'll bump it up. And if I was going to agility classes or just a one-night thing, and there's a scare like this going on, that would be a good time to increase the doses for at least 48 hours before you go.
So that's an idea. So I give Robbie gets an immune tab every day, maybe a couple days before his class each week, I could double his dose.
At least 48 hours before.
Yeah.
That's the protocol that we use in a lot of our livestock studies. We've got data on hundreds of thousands of cattle and sheep and things where these show animals that are on the circuit, we will bump their dosages if they're going to be transported or going to a show, and usually those animals stay healthy because it's that transportation, that's mild stress, that can have an effect on the immune system.
Okay.
I know that for myself, like this week I'm going down to the National Cattle meeting in San Diego, which is the largest cattlemen's meeting in the United States.
Ooh.
And, you know, you go to a convention, you're meeting lots of people, you're shaking lots of hands. And so I will bump my doses of transfer factor before I get on that plane. And rarely do I ever get sick when I come back from a convention.
Well, that's great.
Well, and no, that's the way it works in dogs. Is,
okay.
We can improve the immune response, and, you know, we can't look at anybody in the eye and say we guarantee 100% that this is going to prevent it, but it is the one most effective thing that you can do to protect the individual. And if they do actually get infected, and there's a difference between becoming infected and creating and having a disease.
Okay.
That if they do become infected and develop disease, they're less likely to have a severe form of that disease.
Yeah, so that's what I'm feeling comfortable with, is that I'm going to do that with Robbie starting right away. I keep him on the immune tabs, obviously, but then I'm going to double his dose.
Yep.
Starting 48 hours before class each week.
That's right.
Now, I'm one quick question before I get to a bigger question, and that is, you already said that this is a new flu strain that none of our dogs have been exposed, so they don't have any immunity to this.
Correct.
But you're saying that if they've got the immune tabs on board, that is going to enhance their immune system, and they still might be able to not succumb to the virus.
That's correct, and this is the reason. If you vaccinate an animal, it takes a couple weeks to build antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow process. That's why when you're exposed to a cold virus, you get some symptoms of illness, fever and lethargy, and kind of feel tired. Well, that's when that immune response is going priming that immune system so it works faster, but you don't get the side effects. So we've proven that the immune system, because we're hitting it from, we're stimulating it from many different directions, that you don't feel ill when you take the supplement, but you respond faster than with either a natural infection or a vaccination.
Wow.
That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah. So that personally, I'm going with this plan and keeping Robbie on the immune tabs and doubling the dose 48 hours before we go to class, and then I'm going to trust and think positive that he's not going to get it, but if he does, it's going to be a lot easier to deal with because his immune system. Now, the other thing that we've talked about on the air before with these immune tabs, you already have documented information that when animals are take these immune supplements, that their body's immune system responds 400% better, at least, to vaccinations.
Right.
So it kind of seems like a no-brainer to me that, you know, I would want to have my animals on or my dog on the immune tabs long enough to get that boost in you know, positive response to vaccine. So how long do they need to be on the immune tabs before they'll have a better response to vaccines? Do you know?
Same day? Yeah.
Wow.
Well, our studies show that if you give the immune support product the same day as the immunization, you get a faster response and a stronger response. Now,
wow.
In the ideal situation, we like to have them on it ahead of time. But in our study models, we really couldn't set that up to make that happen.
Uh-huh.
So we were actually pretty amazed in our early studies that they responded the same day as they received the immunization. But in the ideal sense, you would want to have them on the product 2 or 3 days ahead of time to enhance the vaccine response. And our data is strong enough that in 2017, we're kind of strategizing and planning right now to start doing some studies on the human side.
Oh, yay. Kathy likes that idea. So it sounds to me like the definitive plan is, folks, that you as fast as you can, get your dog friends on the veterinary immune tabs and prior to vaccination. And if you can do it, you know, a few days or a week out before they're vaccinated, that's even better. But even if they're on it on the same day that they get vaccinated, they're going to have, their immune system is going to respond better and stronger to the vaccine. So that's great. Okay, so now we got everybody wants to get their dogs on immune tabs, Dr. Right. Bill. How do we do that?
Well, you know, they can email me at billburlingamedvm@gmail.com. Or they can give a call to 425-903-1913.
Okay,
you've got the number.
Bill
there, right?
BurlingameDVM@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can call Dr. Bill and order the immune tabs at 425-4903-1913. That's 425-903-1913. Now, I also know that you've got a great Facebook page going on, and that's Burlingame Veterinary Consulting.
Correct.
They can send you a message or they can post on Facebook. Can people contact you through the Facebook page?
Sure.
And can they order through the Facebook page?
Yep. We're in the process of setting up a website that will have e-commerce on it, so it'll make it a lot easier.
Oh, okay. So you can't actually order it front, but you can get to how to order it on Facebook.
Yeah, they can just leave it.
And eventually, and you're setting up it, so you will be able to order through that. That'll be a really great deal.
Yeah, and I don't want to disappoint everybody because now I'm leaving Wednesday morning, unfortunately, to go to San Diego, so I won't be back till Saturday night. So if there's somebody that wants some product, they'd have to just wait till I get
Okay, but if they get on it today, today or tomorrow, Sunday, yep. Monday, Tuesday, that you could fix them up with the immune tabs before you leave. That's Otherwise, right. You're out of here on Wednesday, and you won't be available to get them product until when?
Well, I could ship them, take them to the post office on Sunday.
Okay, so Wednesday through Sunday, Bill's out doing livestock stuff somewhere. So if you want immune tabs for your dog friends, I'm fortunate enough because I've already got my Robbie on immune tabs. But if you've been waiting for an excuse, this is the reason, because your dog is going to have the strongest immune system they can have to confront this flu. And if you decide that vaccines are appropriate for your dog, at least a 400% better response by your dog to those vaccines. So it seems like a no-brainer to me. All right, so if you want to reach, it's Dr. Bill Burlingame. You can find him on Facebook, Burlingame Veterinary Consulting. You can email him, BillBurlingameDVM@gmail.com, or you can call him at 425-903-1913. Dr. Bill, thanks for taking time out of your Sunday morning, and I really appreciate you being here, and have a fabulous trip.
Well, thanks so much, and everybody's pet out there stays healthy, and just remember, consider the risk factors. Do I really need to go to the dog park, the daycare, or the whatever, for the next couple weeks? Because really, that's the important time for us to find out, are we going to have other dogs breaking? And going to the Washington State Veterinary Medicine website, WSVMA.org, they may have updates there. So really, just think about over the next 2 weeks, do I really need to take my pet there?
Okay, so the website is WSVMA.org?
That's correct.
Okay, and so, all right, so here's the advice. For 2 weeks, that's because what you said, it isn't like there's a gazillion cases all over Washington right now.
Oh, that's
there's
right.
only been that one. Is that right?
Yep.
So there's only been the one case, folks. So this isn't like an epidemic that started here already.
Yep.
So it's only been one case, and Dr. Bill, you're saying let's just be a little cautious for the next 2 weeks. Don't go out to all these places if you don't need to. In the meantime, get on the horn to Dr. Bill, get immune tabs for your dogs, and then we'll touch base with you again in a couple of weeks to find out what's going on, huh?
Good plan.
All right, sounds good. Dr.
Right.
Bill, thanks so much.
Right.
Have a great trip. Bye-bye. Wow. I'm sure glad we did that. And we ran over a little bit for the top of the hour, so we're gonna just pretend it's just 10 o'clock now, and we're going to close out hour number one, fire up hour number two, and open the phone lines. So if you want to talk about this, you can give me a call. And we're here until noon. Martha Norwalk's Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.